My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like this morning to speak about two topics, and the first is the gospel. In today's gospel, for the third Sunday in Lent, we find our Lord curing a man who is deaf and who is dumb, unable to speak, and also is possessed by a devil. And after our Lord drove out the devil, the Pharisees accused him and said, "Well, by devils, by Beelzebub, he casts out devils." Of course, the argument is foolish. Our Lord said, if Satan fights against himself, then his kingdom is destroyed. But our Lord went on to say that when the devil is driven out, he roams about seeking a place to rest. And eventually, if he does not find one, he returns to the place whence he was driven out. And the lesson here is very important. And that is to avoid the evil of backsliding in the spiritual life. Having once overcome sin, not to go back to that sin. We must always move forward. We must conquer sin, and we must also be very careful that we do not slide backwards and commit the same sin. We ought to fear that the grace of God, which is precious, will be taken away from us if we do not take advantage of it, if we do not treasure it and use it to grow spiritually. So be wary of the sin of backsliding, which is falling back into sins once they have been abandoned or overcome. This is an important lesson from today's gospel because, again, the grace of God is precious, and we ought to fear that God will withdraw his grace if we do not adequately appreciate it and use it to grow spiritually. Our Lord tells us, you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, he doesn't mean by that absolute perfection, because that is not possible to human beings. But what our Lord does mean is we are to always strive for virtue, always strive to go forward, to become more and more Christ-like, to become more and more Mary-like, the model set before us by Jesus and Mary, living a truly Christian life. So let us always strive to go forward and never be content with where we are. Because if we think, well, I've done enough, I'm content with where I'm at in the spiritual life, that is when we are in danger of backsliding. And backsliding, as I said, is an abuse of the grace of God. And we ought to fear that God will withdraw his grace if we don't make an adequate use of it. Now, today, normally, the 19th of March is the Feast of St. Joseph. But when it falls on a Sunday during Lent, as it always occurs during Lent, but if it falls on a Sunday, then the feast is celebrated tomorrow. So tomorrow is actually the Feast of St. Joseph, but today we ought to reflect upon this great saint and patron of the universal church and make certain that we honor him as he ought to be honored. Now this morning in the Divine Office, we read the section from the book of Genesis on Joseph of the Old Testament. Joseph in the Old Testament was a type of Christ, but also a type of Saint Joseph. And the story is told that Jacob had 12 sons. And from these 12 sons came the 12 tribes of Israel. But among all these sons, his favorite was Joseph, because he had conceived, Joseph was conceived in his old age. And he gave Joseph a tunic of many colors to show his preference over the other brothers. And they conceived an envy of him, and they didn't like him because they knew that his father valued him more or preferred him above them. And then Joseph had some dreams. And one of these dreams, he said, we were all gathering. He told his brothers, we were gathering sheaves in the field, and your sheaves bowed over towards my sheaf of grain. And they said, well, does that mean we're all going to serve you And then he had another dream. He said, I dreamed that there were 12 stars and the moon and the sun. And the moon and the sun and the other 11 stars worshiped my star. And even his father rebuked him. He said, does this mean your mother and I and your brethren are all going to serve you? So his brothers didn't like him. And one day they took the sheep to a far pasture, looking for good pasture. And after they'd been gone for several days, Jacob, his father, said to his son Joseph, the youngest son, he said, go and find your brothers and see how it is going on with them as they pasture the sheep. And so he went and searched for them and finally found them. And as he was approaching, they saw him coming. And some of them said, look, here he comes. Here comes the dreamer. Let us kill him. And then we'll see what his dreams profited him. And they grabbed him and took off the cloak, the tunic of many colors, and they threw him into a cistern, an old dry cistern. And as they sat down to eat their lunch, they saw a caravan coming by and was on its way to Egypt trading. And one of the brothers said, well, let's sell him into slavery in Egypt, and that way our hands will be clean. We won't be responsible for killing him. And so they did that. They sold him to the traders going to Egypt. And then they took his cloak, and they killed an animal and dipped it in blood and sent it back by a servant to their father to say, isn't this your son's tunic? So the father thought he had been killed by a wild animal. At any rate, Joseph arrives in Egypt, and he ends up being bought as a slave by a general of Pharaoh's army. And everything he does prospers. He's working as a servant for this Potiphar, this general, and everything goes well that he takes care of. But this man's wife conceived impure desires of Joseph and tempted him to sin, and he resolutely resisted her. And finally, after he had resisted her for several times, she became very hateful towards him, and she accused him to her husband of having tried to tempt her into sin. So Joseph was cast into prison. Here he who was sinless was unjustly cast into prison, and he was there for several years. But also eventually were cast into prison the Pharaoh's baker and his cupbearer. And Joseph correctly interpreted, they had these dreams, and he correctly interpreted the dreams, that one of them, the baker, was going to be executed, and the other one, the cupbearer, would be released after 3 days. And he said to him, when you're released and restored to the service of Pharaoh, remind him that I am here suffering unjustly. Well, once the cupbearer was released, he forgot all about his benefactor. But later, Pharaoh himself had a couple of dreams, and they bothered him very much. The dream of the 7 ears of corn, the healthy ears and the wasted ears, and then the 7 lean cows and the 7 fat cows. And he was very troubled, and he called all of his wise men, and they couldn't interpret his dreams. So then it was that the cupbearer said, well, there's this Hebrew youth in prison, and he was put there unjustly, and he correctly interpreted my dream and that of the baker. So Pharaoh called for Joseph. He correctly interpreted the dream that Egypt would have 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh was so impressed, he made Joseph the second man in his kingdom. And he said, everyone in Egypt is to obey Joseph as they would obey the Pharaoh. And so Joseph then, during the 7 years of plenty, stored up all this grain. And then when the 7 years of famine came, then the grain was rationed out and saved Egypt from the famine. Well, the famine spread far and wide, including into Palestine, where his father and brothers lived. And so Jacob then sent his sons to Egypt to buy food. And Joseph recognized them. And at first he didn't let them know who he was. But eventually, he did reveal himself to them and encourage them to bring their father and bring their families and come to Egypt because they would be taken care of. And that is how the Israelites ended up living in Egypt. And then eventually, after Joseph had died and years later, when everyone forgot all about the good he did, then the Israelites began to be oppressed by another Pharaoh and eventually were led out of Egypt by Moses. But the point here is that Joseph in the Old Testament is a model for us, a symbol of Joseph, the chaste spouse of Mary, the foster father of Jesus. Joseph was a chaste soul, just as Joseph in the Old Testament was known for his purity and refusing to give in to a temptation against chastity. Also notice that when the Egyptians needed grain during the time of famine, they went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you." And so Holy Mother Church uses that for Saint Joseph. Ite ad Yosef. Go to Joseph. Do whatever he tells you. Honor Saint Joseph. Go to him in your needs. It has often been said that Saint Joseph is a patron for every class of Christians. Yes, especially for carpenters, for laborers, for husbands, for fathers, but really for everyone. He was the guardian of our Blessed Mother. So he is a special patron of religious sisters, of virgins. He is a model in every way. He is known as a patron saint of the interior life, the prayer life, because he lived with Jesus and Mary. He observed them every day. He lived in union with God, meditating upon their virtues, striving to imitate them. It is said that Saint Joseph never committed a sin. He is the greatest of the saints after our Blessed Mother. Let us all have a devotion to him, honor him, and turn to him, especially families. Call upon the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph to intercede for your family and obtain for you the graces you need to live as a good Catholic family. So Saint Joseph is a wonderful saint. Let us honor him and beg his help to persevere, to live a life of sanctifying grace, and to be always pleasing to Jesus and Mary, who both loved him so much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.